Thank you, Nikos, for the lovely introduction, and it's great to be here. I start, of course, by thanking the Levante Foundation for all the efforts they make. I think Dalila, Ronald, and the whole team are putting a lot of efforts. The last 2-3 months, the focus has been design and typography, but they're really trying to cover visual communication from the Arab world, from all aspects. Glad to be here, honored as well to be here, speaking with Tomas and Titus, people I respect very much in the field. Quickly about myself, my name is Tarek Atrisi, Lebanese, living and working here in the Netherlands. I think I'm the one-third you talked about. I'm really Arab, and I think what defines my work is really my, you know, growing up in the Arab world, living in the Arab world. That's my reference, my you know, growing up in the 80s, being in Lebanon, learning about the rest of the Arab world, and being outside of the Arab world, and looking back at the Arab world. You know, I'm as proudly Arab as proud I am to be a new Dutch, and that also puts a new perspective on looking at things, being here in the Netherlands, working with Arabic typography. Very interesting as well how much for long Holland has been playing a very important role in Arabic typography. And if I don't want to look at the far history, which has always had Holland also involved in Arabic typography, if I look at the very recent history, you know, a lot of the young designers studying here in Holland and focusing on Arabic design, a lot of the different schools in Arabic typography and design coming and emerging here in Holland. So it's very interesting, and it also makes sense that this also happens here today and not anywhere else. In my presentation today, I'll focus on Arabic typography from my perspective as a graphic designer, and focusing really on Arabic typography and where you see it in branding, in graphic design, and how it appears around us. So what is Arabic typography really? Arabic typography surrounds us everywhere. It's around us, it's, you know, it's the signs of your small restaurants around the corner. It's all the communication and script that comes around you. These are specific details, photos from the city of Beirut, where I grew up. And for me, this is one main aspect of Arabic typography. It's interesting to, you know, to see how Tomas looks at things, and maybe I look at it differently, even though we're working in the same field. Not doing opposite things, I think doing complementary things. But for me, it's very interesting always when you say Arabic, when you're trying to define Arabic through an identity, how different people look at it, how different people define it, whether they're creating, you know, especially in graphic design, when you have the need to create an image. Some people, even people from the Arab world, some people look at the Arab world and say, you know, what's Arabic? They look at it in an orientalist eye, in a nostalgic eye, in a traditional eye. So many different ways to look at what's Arabic and define what is Arabic. But, you know, like I said, if I have to define typography, what is Arabic typography first? It's really much more than the letter and much more than type. It's really what defines the visual culture around us in the city, in the Arab world. That's what I'm very interested in documenting how every city starts to have its own language, its own typographic landscape. That's where typography starts, on a really big picture, in defining the typographic landscape of a city. Typography is also very, very useful tool. You know, if we look at it just in signage, typography is information design. It guides us in our daily life. These are samples of signage, obviously, from Morocco. But also typography is informational in what we read, in publishing, in the news that comes to us, either in newspapers, in books, but also, you know, recently on the screen more and more. This is all is typography. This is all is the definition of Arabic typography in context. But also typography is, you know, becomes part of design. Type is always part of any communication material that is appearing around us. This is a selection of posters from around the Arab world which were exhibited here in Holland at the Affiche Museum, I think 3 years ago. And of course, typography is branding, typography is identities, typography is part of our commercial world around us, from institutions to companies to foundation. All of them are related in one way or another in typography. And, you know, typography for designers, if we take that step from looking at the big picture to look at typography around us, for us graphic designers, typography is when we design with type, when we use typography as elements to make graphic design with it.
But also for designers, typography is playing with typography and working with type and looking at it as a beautiful, as beautiful elements that becomes artistic, expression for all designers. This is some of my student work from the Abu Dhabi school. And typography is fun and experimental. This is one of my favorite student projects from Qatar VCU, who fried eggs on the shape of typography. And this was her experimental typeface. So type is fun also, and that we tend to forget as designers. But of course, typography is type design. These are samples from Nadine Shaheen's work, who's mostly concerned with type, legibility in type, and typography for text and headlines. So that's also part of typography, if we are to look at all aspects of what makes Arabic typography. But what makes Arabic typography also very interesting is that Arabic typography is for the Arab world. And the Arab world is very big, and it's a world in itself. So even for someone coming from the Arab world, like myself, you keep on discovering in the Arab world, you keep on discovering different cultures. And it's a wide, wide place with different subcultures. So that's really what makes it very interesting, to look at Arabic type and look at this vast area or target group. And if there is one thing about the Arab world, there are two common things. One thing is that, the written language is the same. We use all the same typography. But the main thing that is common in the recent history of the Arab world is that the Arab world is changing, and it's changing on all levels. This is an amazing picture of Dubai from 91 and 2005. And you could see the difference. And if we look at Dubai 2008, it's also probably as shocking of a difference and developing between those two photos. These are two ads of Coca-Cola from the 30s and now. Very similar, yet very different, and depending how you look at it. And this is, again, a direct example of typography in use. This is one of my favorite images of the before and after images that came after the war in Lebanon, the civil war of the 80s in Lebanon. From Zaven Kouyoumdjian's book that took famous pictures from the war in Lebanon and looked the same people, the same heroes of the picture, and shot them again. The top image was one of the most famous image of the Arab civil war, of the Lebanese civil war, which had all the aspect of, all the exotic aspect of a winning photos documenting the Lebanese war. This Lebanese woman wearing an Iranian abaya and carrying a Russian weapon. And then 20 years after, in a completely different setup, showing also how society changed, how the conflict changed, and looking at the conflict, how did it change within the social life. All this, in reality, is a changing Arab world, in a way struggling to define its identity. I mean, if you look, just let's look at architecture, the new projects developing, the project that developed already, just the wide range of styles of what we are looking at here is an Arab world in between its history, but in between something new being developed. I like this example. The top part is the signage in Schiphol Airport. The lower part is the signage of Abu Dhabi Airport. And I find it sad, actually. It's nice that we adopt international, great design solution. The signage system of Mike Sennar was probably the best signage systems done. But I find it sad that the Abu Dhabi Airport just has Arabic type added to it and loses somehow some sort of authentic element in it. I love much more the signage in Morocco, which is maybe far less efficient, but I like it more. I think it's representing something more authentic in it. So this balance of finding how to adapt modern stuff that are functional and how to fuse it with what's a little bit authentic, what has a little bit more of character, that's what make me interested. Of course, the Arab world is changing, and that's what you start seeing as well in a new generation eager to express itself differently. But also, I think, one of the changes happening is that a lot of the new generation, specifically of Arabic designers, are looking to a certain extent with a nostalgic eye to the near past, to the near history. And, such posters of Egyptian popular cinema cultures, which we grew up with really in the Arab world, we start to appreciate it more, we start to see the beauty in it, and we start to wonder how can we create graphic design today that it's as inspiring and as charming as these when we look at it. That's also what I try to do with my students, and I think that's what a lot of the new generation is doing. They're trying to appreciate, to learn how to appreciate more their own background, to work with calligraphy or any, you know, the Arabic script, whether it's now or before, and try to bring it in a modern graphic solution and a modern graphic package. So with all this change, of course, there came the need of branding and rebranding. All of a sudden, so many things are changing. And when you look at this from a commercial or communication point of view, everyone needed to brand itself to keep up with the change, or everybody needed to rebrand themselves to reimpose their image that fits the surrounding, the new surrounding around it. One of, you know, I was very lucky at a very young age to work on the branding of Qatar, the country. Very exciting project, and I'll just show one slide of it. It's obviously a very long project and exciting process. But you know, Qatar as a country was one of, let's say, these clients, organizations, in this case, country, that needed to recreate an image from themselves that fits their current vision. And you know, the brief of the Qatar identity was very similar to many briefs I get in my studio. Keep the heritage and project it in a modern, contemporary way. And the result was the identity of Qatar, which was calligraphic in its solution, very graphic in its implementation as a visual language. Today, when I look at, you know, as a practicing designer at typography, and I say, you know, I'm involved in Arabic typography, I can't de-associate it in my practicing design work as a designer from calligraphy and lettering. I see it as a range of work. There is typography, what you see here on the right side. There is calligraphy, what you see on the left side. And there is all this in between, the lettering, you know, being inspired from calligraphy and trying to work that somehow in between calligraphy and typography. And all this range is really what we work with every day while creating any project in graphic design. Whether we're trying, in this case, for a logo for a magazine, we're trying to develop a calligraphic logo. The exploration of all aspects of the rendering of the word, of the calligraphic rendering of the word, in this case of the handwriting, and in the case of, you know, going in between the calligraphic, between the typographic, and between the lettering. This is all what it is, our daily practice as graphic designers. And of course, when it comes to type design as well, you know, to create the specific typeface that is coming from a specific brief, from a specific request of a client, this is all Arabic typography for a practicing designer. This is all Arabic typography for designers nowadays. This is a classic bad example of Arabic type. Actually, what happened is, you know, you had this need for change. There was a lot of branding, needed, and a big graphic design new generation eager to change and eager to be part of these branding needs. And of course, you know, one of the trends that started was that Arab designers were trying to imitate Latin typography, obviously in here not in a successful way, because the script lost its essence, and the Arabic letters actually were built based on chopped off Latin letters. But of course, you had people who did the same thing and did it in a wonderful way. The Dubai TV logo by Obaida Sidani was a logo inspired very much by Latin typography, and has done a great job in this logo, which, you know, is one of the strongest logos in the Arab world. You know, all this affects the work of any designer, Arab designer working. I'll show a little bit of some of my own project from my design studio, which always show the struggle, you know, between either looking at something traditional or trying to convey a modern graphic image, or going somewhere in between. When Al Ghad newspaper as a client came to us to develop a new identity in Jordan, this was the competition for Al Ghad newspaper. These were the competitor newspaper in Jordan. Most of them calligraphic, traditional in identity, and that's how, to a certain extent, to the very near past, most of the identities were in the Arab world. Al Ghad wanted something different. They wanted something typographic, bold, simple, graphic, and not calligraphic. obviously, you know, by not finding a logo, a typeface that was bold and that really requested, responded to what the brief is, we had to make our own lettering to develop the masthead for Al Ghad. And this was the identity developed. It's really simple. Basically, far from the calligraphic heritage, because that's what the brief is. We don't want it to look calligraphic. We want it to look bold, modern typography. Al Ghad identity, you know, I'll show a little bit of how the newspaper ended. Being now one of the leading newspapers in Jordan, eventually the typeface, you know, was developed because Al Ghad started their own television, sadly, which lasted 4 days before it stopped, for a whole reason of a whole set of political reasons in Jordan. However, the font stayed to be used in the inserts of Al Ghad newspaper. You know, after designing this typeface, coming myself not from a type design background, being a graphic designer, that somehow felt that yeah, the nature of the work was forcing me in some cases to do type design. I was interested that I started to see Al Ghad font used in some other applications and used by other designers. And it intrigued me because I always approach type design from a graphic designer point of view. I design typefaces that I need myself as graphic designers for very specific reasons, and most of the time for identities and branding reasons, and not more than this. So this is a series of examples of Arabic typography or Arabic typefaces I designed specifically for visual identities. And in most of the cases, there is a visual identity being developed, and they need a custom typeface, so they have a specific Arabic font that speaks a specific language. This is the Doha Asian Game typeface. Etisalat, the telecommunication company in Dubai, needed a signature for their new logo. And if you look again at typography as the voice of the page or the voice of the written script, then there was a big need for new voices that will be used in different identities. And it's very funny, but the, yeah. Where are we looking at?
This one.
Yeah.
What does it say?
In lower part, it says Etisalat, which is the name of the company. Etisalat, which means, yeah, telecommunication, kind of, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was it? Yeah, okay. So yeah, ironically enough, the process of designing custom typefaces to a big extent became, for us at least in the studio, just like designing an identity. We start by positioning the logo, the typeface. What kind of typeface the client wants? Is it more geometric? Is it more organic? Is it modern? Is it traditional? So we kind of almost follow the same process of creating a corporate identity or developing a brand. One of the interesting projects we worked on last year was developing the custom typeface for BBC Arabic, the new Arabic news-speaking channel. The client was really strange in what they want. They were very clear about what they want. They wanted a typeface which looked different, which just had such a strong character that someone can recognize it very quickly. Interesting, really. I mean, I think most of the typefaces that we go to, it's the end result is an interesting mix of what the client wants and our process. This was the typeface developed for BBC Arabic. You know, a few months later, BBC Farsi came, same client, but different news in Farsi instead of Arabic, and a totally different end result because of a totally different brief and a total difference between the Persian team at BBC and the Arabic team at BBC in defining what's modern in typography and what's classic for them. But of course, you know, there is the need always to develop typefaces that work with Latin typefaces that are made to match a specific Latin typeface. This is the one of the Arabic sans serif types we made to match the Latin font Gotham. You know, I think in a lot of cases, you know, there is this tendency to define the two schools of Arabic typography between the type that imitates Latin or works with Latin and the other way around, which I think that's not really the case. Because in my case, I'm designing typefaces according to briefs that come. And if the brief that come is asking me to design an Arabic typeface that fits a Latin typeface, then that's what my client wants. And this is not, this doesn't mean that typefaces should only imitate Latin typefaces, or that's the only way to approach Arabic type design. This is some of part of the new branding of the Neil, the Egyptian TV channel, using both Al-Ghad typeface for the logotype and the Arabic sans serif for the Latin type. But of course, other, you know, interesting clients like MTV Arabia come with the need of a specific Arabic font. I think actually they needed the Arabic font so quickly done, it was ridiculous. But at the same time, they wanted something that looks MTV and just, you know, convey a certain feeling of what MTV stands for in the Arab world. And from a graphic design point of view, let alone of the type, that was an interesting project to work in. How do you incorporate Arabic design within a brand such as MTV? In some screen graphics, it's very Arabic when it comes to very Arabic programs. In other cases, it's not. But I show in this example the very Arabic program and the set that was designed for it, also using Arabic typography as part of the interior design of it. The typographic matchmaking project, which I took part of, was an initiative by the Khat Foundation. They actually invited 5 teams, of every team consisting of 1 Dutch designer and 1 Arab designer. And the goal was to create an Arab version of a famous Dutch font. In my case, I worked with Peter Belak to create an Arabic version of Fedra Arabic. I think it was a very interesting project from me, from the sense that I got the chance to work with such an established type designer. But at the same time, it was interesting. Just the components of the project made it interesting. I think the project got a lot of applauses on one hand, criticism on the other hand. I think it didn't hurt. You know, there is a lot of need of Arabic typefaces. And this is something I always say. These are examples of the Fedra Arabic in usage. I always say that there's little Arabic typefaces available, and many times some people don't agree. But, you know, I mean, speaking of someone who graduated, who started studying design in the mid-90s and graduated in 2000, we really did not have Arabic fonts in the Arab world. I mean, people say there was, but where were they? I didn't have them. We didn't have them. We were the first generation of Arabic type designers, or of graphic designers, sorry, in the modern definition of graphic design. So there is also 2 things I look at. There is what's out there, but there is also what's out there in the market and reachable to you and available to you. And maybe this is why I always say, even now, it's so much better than how it was 8 years ago. There's so much more Arabic typefaces, but there is still room for a lot of exploration. And the more the merrier, I think, because I still have very little typefaces available in what I need to do. So some other examples of Arabic graphic design from our practice in the studio. You know, every identity comes with its own challenges. Do we need to create something in what in our eyes is modern typography, something geometric, something bold, or something traditional when the needs comes for it? In poster designs, you know, is it lettering? Is it regular fonts? Is it just calligraphy? One of the interesting projects I worked on last year with Mediamatic and a team of very talented designers as well is El Hema project. And in this type of cases, in this case, I designed the logo, the Arabic logo of El Hema. When you're designing an Arabic version of an international brand or a Dutch brand in this case, you have to imitate the Latin script. That's part of the brief, in my opinion. And these are examples of El Hema products. El Hema opened again yesterday in Rotterdam, phase 2 of El Hema. These are some of the products we've designed for them. I love the I Love Feyenoord t-shirt, but also very, very simple products, typographic packaging of water, for example. Again, another example where, you know, if for this specific issue, Volkskrant magazine wanted an Arabic version of their logo. And again, this is a type of brief where you're starting with the Latin typeface, so, you know, to match it in a certain extent is part of the brief. But not every project is different, and with every project, our choice of you know, inspiration of calligraphy, lettering, or typography differs. This is for a falafel restaurant chain in Kuwait, and we've made the menus inspired by old style newspapers, and we just really wanted to make lousy calligraphy and use that as part of the identity. So that the calligrapher was not really a calligrapher, but it worked. In regular graphic design work, 2 examples of 2 posters for the same client out of the same series. The left side is using calligraphy in Arabic. The right side is using typography, just a regular font, and both of them are part of the same image, same campaign, same project. Another project I will show, the packaging of Explorers board game, Rahala. Very interesting concept that came to us from a client who wanted to create an Arabic board game for the Arab world, and not an imported board game like Monopoly or Risk, but really a board game that comes from the Arab world, and that's actually a trivia board game of travel through the history of the Arab world. And in the identity of explorers, we've mixed really type, different typefaces actually, and calligraphy, which calligraphy was part of the main identity. And then again, this choice we have to do every day in every series of packaging, project, graphic design. What is the Arabic typographic / calligraphic choice we have to make to create the specific identity we need for this package? I'll conclude with one of my student projects. This was Visual Narratives from Arabia, a book published by UNESCO. I co-authored. It was a very interesting project, actually, because it was an online course, the first online course attempt in the Arab world in design and technology. And we had students from all over the Arab world, well, from different cities in the Arab world, working online with three teachers and developing specific design projects. Very interesting because, you know, in my approach of teaching design, I pushed the students very much to go outside in their cities to document the graphic and typographic environment around them and incorporate that in their work to create local graphic design. Well, in this case, it was very interesting because the students were literally all over in the Arab world. And it was interesting to see them going out and getting different documentation of different cities they're in. I'll conclude with the best, you know, one of my favorite projects of this course. Ghada Majid from Lebanon decided, and this is also, I show this because a lot say now that the young generation of graphic designers are kind of anti-calligraphy and they want modern calligraphy, but that's not really the case. In this case, this student was interested in reviving calligraphy in signage nowadays. She was interested in documenting the architectural character of different neighborhoods and streets in the city of Beirut and trying to match the architectural character of every street and neighborhood with a specific calligraphic style. So really trying to write the name of the street in a style that to a big extent reflects the feel that comes with every neighborhood and every street. And it's very interesting because, you know, for someone who grew up in Beirut, every street, you say a street, there is a lot of heritage in your head of what the streets stand for. And the attempt from a designer to really create a calligraphic language that reflects this and that echoes the architectural aspect of this neighborhood was very interesting. But also a showcase that, you know, young designers appreciate calligraphy as much as they appreciate typography, and they try to find the balance in between, and they make the right choice according to what every project involves in terms of decision. These were the series of the promotional posters Ghada Majid did, combining the calligraphy she developed for every street with the image of the street and creating kind of promotional posters for the different neighborhoods in Lebanon. Mostly that was about it in my presentation. I will leave the stage again to Titus, and thank you.